This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio. With Nozza.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's FUBAR Radio. It's 4 o'clock and you're listening to Harriet Rose and Tom Nozza.
Hi, guys. Welcome. Are you all right?
Are you okay, hun?
I am okay. How are you?
I'm really well, hun.
Good,
thanks
good.
For asking.
Good, hun.
Let's kick off by talking about Last Request, I think.
It's the competition everyone's talking about. If some people compare it to Eurovision, say it's a little bit sassier. I'm not sure.
I think it's a lot sassier. Mm. Not a little bit sassier. 100% sassy. We should get Graham Norton to do the voiceover for this game.
To berate us quietly.
Yeah, I would love to be berated by Graham Norton, to be honest.
It'll be fun.
I love him.
You should explain it because you came up with this week's. So I think it's a very good but tricky subject.
Difficult, because I just bagged the only one that really makes sense.
Yeah,
that wasn't deliberate. It was actually Abby's idea. So, MP3s are becoming extinct.
I don't really get what that means.
Okay, I'll explain it to you.
Thank you.
Basically, the music world. So we went from vinyl, predating vinyl. I don't know what was happening then.
I think it's just
people singing, basically.
Just music boxes.
Just people singing.
Just a cappella.
Anyway, after vinyl, we had tape.
Yeah.
After tape, we had CD.
Mini disc for a short period.
Mini disc, and then CD, and then MP3. Mm. And now we have WAV. Oh, we have MP4. We have MP1, 5, 7, all of the above. And MP3, turns out MP3 is referred to as actually ruining the sound of songs. It makes them depressing, apparently, in comparison, in kind of way that HDTV and all those kind of things.
Sure.
In comparison with the TV from, say, 2 years ago that isn't HD, is quite a stark difference. So they've decided to scrap the MP3 like they scrapped the tape, like they almost have scrapped the CD.
Well, you know Jay-Z's music thing?
Tidal.
Is that because he's like, it's better quality on here? Is that because they just play WAVs and Spotify?
But everything is
WAV now.
Well, it's all migrating. That's the point. It's all migrating from MP3 to not WAV. There's other ones like I don't know all the acronyms for them, but they are just getting rid of the worst of all of them, which is the MP3.
But it makes sense, doesn't it?
But the reason it's a big deal is because obviously when iPods and stuff first came out, and MP3 players, they were called MP3 players.
Very true.
So it's a big deal because it's like, oh, MP3.
A WAV player sounds a bit like a wave. Oh, I don't know.
Like a wave.
A wavy player.
Oh, ooh, let's get wavy. Anyway, back to Last Request. So this week we decided to do like basically the theme is very, very weird.
Loose.
So it's basically end of an era songs, but sort of relating to something ending. and I basically, without realising, picked the only one that was easy. But I think you've done well with yours. Do you want to tell everyone what yours is?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Big fan of that song.
Yeah, it's a good song. I should have picked Linkin Park in the end.
What? But you can't have two songs.
No, I should have done.
Oh, in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Because Jay-Z does.
So good. I've got that album, The Collision Course. Thank you. Goodbye.
Ooh, checkmate. You'll go.
Oh. This is my one. Specific. Why is it playing again?
Sounds like. It's losing its mind.
Oh, I like that. It got looped. Guys, it got stuck because that's probably the one you should pick. That was amazing. I was just watching it loop and loop and loop then.
Live radio was killing the radio star.
Exactly. So you can either pick REM or I don't know who did mine. I can't remember their name.
Boogles.
The Boogles?
Buggles?
The Buggles.
The Buggles?
The Buglays.
There's no helping us, Buggles?
No. Abby? Anything? No.
Buggles?
Okay, well, just somebody sang that and they were good. It's only Bloody Thursday. Shall we? Do you want to tell everyone who we got on the show?
I sure do. We have MC Fizzy coming into the studio. Des Mensah also, Aixman, and on the blower we've got...
That's me doing a drum roll.
Got Landon at McNamara. Woohoo! Have another go! Go on, you can say that name, Harriet.
Landon McNamara.
It's a great name. It's tricky.
and Tamoya from Puma Rosa. Very, very excited about today's show. Plus, we're going to be playing...
Talking is tough.
it's so hard when it's your job. We are also going to be playing My Chat with Salt and Pepper. That's right.
Shake it.
And also I had a chat with the director and star of Kix, the film, which will be on later.
Looking forward to it.
What are we kicking off the show with?
Sunder. Oh, come on with all the arrows. Sundara, karma. Explore it. No, just explore.
Just explore.
Choice there.
Yep, couldn't say the name, but do you always need to be able to say names?
Not necessarily.
In the biz.
Not necessarily, Tom. Not necessarily.
There you go.
Especially when you've got names like Tom and Harriet.
Yep. T and H.
T and H. B and H. Other acronyms that are there.
B and H. That's...
Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it.
Don't do that. Why
Let's do this
it?
Instead.
Music, news, and reviews.
You just spoke over Hannah Witten.
Sorry, Hannah Witten.
Music, news, and reviews.
She'll keep on cracking even though you are trying to stop her. Cracking on. Keep cracking on, Hannah Witten. Tell us what we're doing.
Music, news, and reviews.
We are. Thank you. Katy Perry has announced a new album, Witness. Coming out later this year on June the 9th. Plus, whoa, she's also doing a tour.
And she's got a pixie cut.
Yeah. All right, current knowledge.
Well, I just saw an Ellen DeGeneres.
Did you see the clip where Ellen DeGeneres forgot that she was married to Russell Brand?
Yeah.
Hashtag we watch the same videos.
Yeah, we do.
We weren't together at the time.
We weren't. Stop putting us together all the time.
We've just got the same likes and dislikes.
I think Stephen Lang leaking us to OK Magazine.
Yeah, he'll leak us as a couple. Stephen Lang, don't do that because we're not a couple, OK? We might be, but we're not. Just look at some of the images and choose for yourself. You can get a ticket to the Witness Tour, and every ticket you purchase, you'll get a copy of the album.
That's good.
Yeah, obviously, I would guess not in MP3, but in some form of electronic music.
Mm.
Not electronic music, electronic music.
Her tour is only North America, though.
No, I think it will be UK as well.
She's just told me now. I'm not coming back over there.
No, I wouldn't. Have you heard her song Bon Appetit? I really like it.
No, can you give me a little bit of it?
No. Well, it's not really one. I don't know the words to it. I can sing you Change the Rhythm because I know the words to that.
Bon Appetit.
I really love Katy Perry with a deep, deep obsession.
She's a bit wacky in her interviews, isn't she? She's very, a lot of energy, a lot of beans popping in there.
No, I just like her. I don't know what you're talking about, beans and stuff. Change the Rhythm was an interesting track because it was very political, but no one realised.
Subtle.
Well, everyone realised. But in the beginning, it sounded like a pop song, just a normal pop song, but it wasn't. It had something else.
Subtle digs.
It was just basically saying how we all follow this thing and should we. We're like salmon in the stream.
We're like robots.
Salmon in the stream.
That's nice to say those words together.
Say them.
Salmon in the stream. Stream.
Oh, it sounds nice. Mm. What else is happening? New Madonna song, Mysteriously Appears on iTunes, titled Behind Me. The track features a little known artist called Guido Don Santos and was added to the iTunes store without any promo.
Madge likes to mix up, and she likes to keep you on your toes. I don't think she's ever going to die, Madonna. She's going to live forever.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
As in, I just honestly think she's...
Do you think, like, Walt Disney, who's been cryogenically frozen?
Has he?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which I'm not sure how happy I feel about that, because he was linked to, like, Nazi stuff and...
But, I mean, a lot of people dig in the children's world. I'm not going to be libelous here. But, like, Roald Dahl was a bit funny.
With what?
Just anti-Semiticness.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean...
We don't know, though, do we? Because we haven't met them.
No, just he wrote some
things
down.
I mean, saying that, I know that...
Hitler.
Yeah, he was anti-Semitic, definitely. But it's a weird one, isn't it? Because you hear these stories and it's like, well, they're not here to say whether it's...
It could be hearsay.
It could be hearsay.
Pure and simple, yeah.
Pure and simple, yeah.
I'll be there for you.
Whore and simple, gotta be there.
There you go.
I accidentally said whore and simple instead of pure.
Whore and simple.
Whore-ish, simple, better be there. The suggestion on my notes here is that it potentially is linked to the biopic of Madonna's Life, Blonde Ambition. But we know that it isn't because she...
Madonna doesn't approve of that film.
From that Wikipedia article you read, it says she doesn't approve of the film.
She said, if it's released, I will spit on it. She said that.
She wrote on Instagram, nobody knows what I know and what I have seen. Only I can tell my story. Anyone else who tries is a charlatan and a fool. Looking for instant gratification without doing the work. This is a disease in our society.
Ooh.
That's harsh.
That is, isn't it?
Love a bit of instant gratification, though, don't you?
Oh, I do.
Give me a couple of likes on Instagram, for God's sake.
Ouch. But it's good out.
It is ironic that she's putting that on Instagram, because it's like, that is instant gratification for something.
She is. You know, David Icke?
Yes.
You know he's like, people are lizards.
Yes. No.
Maybe.
Maybe we're lizards.
No, not us. Well, I'm not. But
I don't understand. You have to explain
I've never believed that to be true. I still don't really. But if I was to say someone out there's a lizard.
Right.
And like not from this world, I'd say Madonna.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like in Men in Black, where it was revealed that like a few celebrities were aliens. Obviously, they weren't really. They were all in the film.
Yeah,
I can imagine. I definitely think there are certain people that are just too good and great and fantastic.
Yeah, I think, well, weirdly, I think Madonna and Bowie kind of have a...
Yeah, but...
reinventing themselves.
David Bowie is one of those people that I just think I love him so much. And I think he emanated such fabulousness.
Apparently when he was born, the nurse was like, he's not of this world. I don't know why she's a witch, but she genuinely felt so. She looked at him and she said something like,
are you saying northern people are witches?
No, I'm just saying.
You did a northern accent as well for no reason.
My family are from northern. So I can say that.
Sorry, when you say your family are from northern, what
Cumbria.
Do you mean? Yeah, but a sentence, the sentence, my family are from
northern. Are from northern. but yeah, I just think that there's something off. Not from this world about those people, but it's a good thing, if anything.
If anything. I don't know if you saw Stephen Lang, mentioning Stephen Lang again, because he's one of the best people in the world, was tweeting about the Avril Lavigne conspiracy, because he made me laugh out loud, because this conspiracy has been going around for years, and everyone seems to have suddenly picked up on it again. Basically, please let me tell you if you don't know about this, Tom, because it's really funny.
I was frantically reading it then.
No, don't worry. So I'll tell you exactly what it is. Avril Lavigne... The theory is from fans, right? So Avril Lavigne, I don't know if you're an avid follower of her.
I used to dig some of her tunes.
Exactly. So back in the day when we were youngsters, she did a lot of sort of punky, and she dressed very punky. She dressed how I emulated her in many ways. And then suddenly she changed after about 2003... and went a bit more girly and
this
blonde.
This is more girlfriend era,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend. Which is a banger, by the way. And that her fans think that Avril Lavigne actually died in 2003 and an imposter took her place. The imposter was a girl that she'd hired to stand in front of paparazzi pictures because she didn't like having them. So she hired a girl that looked just like her and had her stand in front of the paparazzi shots. Avril Lavigne also became really good friends with this girl and then taught her to sing on a night, literally this is a story, on a stormy night that she taught her to sing and then she died and then this girl just took her place.
Wow. It's like there's a theory about Paul McCartney as well, isn't there? About him dying... and someone replaced
that
him.
I can. That's got more
legs
than this does.
Do you know?
And it hasn't even got that much.
Do you want an impromptu pop quiz about Avril Lavigne?
Yes.
Okay. Name two bands. Well, she's been married twice. Which
Nickelback
and
Sum 41.
There you go. Ting, whoa! Ding, ding. Very quick.
Good job, B.
Sorry, but you thought I was going to get those wrong.
I wasn't sure, but you.
Can I? Should we high five?
Yeah, go on.
Because we both did. Good there.
Yeah, you did very well.
Yeah, it was the other way around though. Sum 41 first and then Nickelback.
Yeah.
And still Nickelback a bit. I think she's Nickelbacking forth with Nickelback and forth.
She's back Nickelback.
Nickelback and forth with Chad
Kroger.
I always say Chad Michael Murray and it's the wrong Chad. Anyway, Abby's written something really funny here, so I'm gonna read it out. Yeah, it's complicated, but you're not losing grip on your sanity. So don't worry because we're going to explain it all to you. And then that was it. I just wanted to read that because she'd written it. Abby, that was good. I should have read it first, shouldn't I? Bastards.
Have you seen...
Melissa, by the way, is the name of the body double that she used.
Okay.
But that's not proven. She didn't have a body double. This is just an entire theory.
It's just a theory.
And if you look at the pictures, people tweet being like one next to each other being like, oh my God, can you see the difference? And it's like, not at all. They look exactly the same. Just one's got blonder hair. Mm. And there's actually this thing called hair dye that helps with that. Should we play a song?
Please, let's play one of those songs.
Miley Cyrus and Harry Styles have both released more music. Miley Cyrus, one song off her upcoming album called Malibu. We'll play that first, and a little later we're going to play Harry Styles' new song.
Carolina. Both American names.
Cripes.
I never came to the beach. I stood by the ocean. Sat by the shore under the sun with my feet in the sand, but you brought me here, and I'm happy that you did, 'cause now I'm as free as birds catching the wind. I always thought I would sing, so I never swam. The sky is more blue,
You're joining us on FUBAR Radio, and we're live here with MC Fizzy. How's it going?
What's up, FUBAR?
It's lovely to have you here, my friend.
Nah, yeah, lovely to be here.
You're back. You've got the brand new Black Champagne EP.
Yep.
And we're going to be playing Trap, 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 the new single.
Yep.
Very excited to be playing that a little bit later on.
Let's kick off
and start talking about Trap, Trap, Trap first. In the beginning of the track, you sort of talk a bit about grime and garage and subgenres and things, and you're dipping into a different kind of genre here with this.
No doubt.
How did it feel to sort? Because obviously you started out in the Genius Crew,
mm-hmm.
and that was definitely more of a garage vibe. Tracks like Boom Selection, what a banger.
Thank you very much.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much. So you've come in with a different vibe now. Was it weird or was it natural to just go through the genres? Do you feel fluid with it or was it sort of a deliberate decision?
All right, let's keep it real, yeah. This is the fact of the matter. Let me break it down. Garage, grime, bassline, Disclosure, however you put it, yeah, it all come from a certain sound. So me spitting on that, it's just natural. Like, the music began there. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So from the music began there, it's kind of like, you know, it's one of the first grime tunes, yeah, to be realistic, yeah. You know, it's arguable whether, you know, Genius Crew, So Solid, More Fire, you know, Pay As You Go, some of the tracks were actually grime. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it was a different kind of how the music started, you know, the transition between garage and grime. You know, that was the time where there was lots of tracks that I called grey areas.
I totally agree, because we always talk about this on the show. I don't see things in genres, and a lot of musicians agree. I think sticking something into a genre is difficult, but it's easy for sort of the press and people. They need to put it in a box and work it out in
yeah,
that way.
Do you know what? I love that you said that, and I heard that you can swear on this. Yeah, like, fuck that shit. Yeah, it's for real. Like, fuck that. Like, this is what they tried to do, innit? Like, you know, they always try to kind of, you know, have all these, you know, ways of saying this and putting people into boxes, etc., etc. So, you know, that's what it is, really.
It's boring, isn't it? Trying to put people into boxes. But I like it now because the music industry. I mean, you can answer this actually. From when you started in the Genius Crew to now, you can surely see the change in the way that the public responds to this genreless vibe and people allowing things to change. And because back in the day, it wasn't really as easy to do, to be like, I'll do whatever I want, because everyone was putting people into boxes even more so than now.
Yeah, the only reason it's kind of changed is because it's more controlled now. So now, because there's more control over it, it can allow more freedom with the sound of the music. But that music was coming out of control, like it was blowing up without anybody being in charge of it. Do you get what I'm saying? So it was bringing in revenue that needed to be controlled through somewhere.
In terms of what you're saying about freedom and control, being solo now, do you enjoy that control and freedom rather than having to write with other people?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, the truth is, yeah, like, all right, people have their own opinions, yeah? And trust me, like, I will never regret anything, and I love every part of the music that I've made, yeah? But for me, Bomb Selection was something for me that came naturally. And then it was speaking to other members of the crew, and I didn't like the course, bruv, beat. I didn't like it. I'll be straight up. Like, I didn't like it. I heard it. I come in from college one day, and I was like, is this it? Okay. But then we put the vibe on it, and for me, it worked. So, but do you know what I mean? When it comes to something solo now, you're able to say, right, I like the beat. Here's the bars. Nobody can't tell me shit.
Sure.
They can't tell me shit about the chorus. They can't tell me shit about the bars. They can't tell me... Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just kind of freedom in that way.
There's no compromise. Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, you know, being in a crew, there's so much bonuses as well, though. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes people might go, oh, do you know what? Just bring your tone down a little bit here. Do you get me? And you're thinking, don't tell me how to do it. I'm a professional. And then you do it, and then you're like... Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say? So, you know, there's obviously, you know, moving forward, that Genius Crew are coming back.
Yay!
You know, yeah, we'll definitely, when we're doing an official announcement, we'll definitely come and check you guys out as well.
Please do.
And yeah, and we'll play some of the new stuff as well. Do you know what I mean? So that is, yeah, Genius Crew's coming back.
This makes me very, very happy.
I hear that.
Everyone listening is going to be very, very happy about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool that you're working on loads of different stuff as well. I reckon, as you're saying, there's what you've basically just said is that there's pluses and minuses to both. And actually doing both is the best way to get through, because it's like, well, I've got everything that I want. Because it's like, you've got the fun of being on your own and doing it solo.
Yeah.
And then you've got the fun of being in a crew and sort of working on music together. Mm. And I guess you can still go back to the guys and play them your stuff and see what they think and things like that, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean... Music for me now, yeah, it's not necessarily about getting through. It's become a way of life. Do you know what I mean? I've been in it since I was like, what? It's like 16, 17? Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it's just become a part of me. So it's kind of like, you know, it's more about getting out there to the masses. Like, really and truly, for me, a lot of things are so kind of orchestrated that side of it doesn't always excite me the most. Do you get where I'm coming from? So it's just about getting stuff out there and for people to kind of hear the music and you know, and really, you know, obviously we've come up to the time now, innit, because that's what we do, innit. We're universal chameleons. Yeah, we get this shit cracking. But you know, we still kind of understand where the love and the passion in literally taking records down to uptown, yeah,
Black Market Record, etc., etc., bringing actual records down and saying, all right, cool, boom, and giving you 100, yeah?
Yeah.
Negotiating, all right, what, six, give me 650, then, yeah, 650 back.
Just more
for these.
And more and more.
Yeah,
and more.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? And the next record, if that one does proper, then you say, well, this one's going up to 750, you know?
Yeah.
You get me? Because they've had a few requests.
Yeah.
So for me, that's what it, you know, that side of it is where I will always have a love for, because people are very personal about stuff like that. I know people that have got Boom Selection records up on their wall and they ain't moving them. No matter how dusty they get, they're leaving them there because that was the first record that they bought and they loved. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it was, for me, there was more an attachment. I think music's very disposable these days.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? So when that happens, obviously a balance of power, it changes. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So if music becomes disposable, then artists ain't as influential.
Yeah, totally.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Actually, on that note, we're going to play a game that is sort of reflects that, disposable music. We play a game on this show called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
Okay, see.
MC Fizzy, I'm sending you to a desert island, and on this island, you've got to listen to a song for the rest of your life, right? But it's the worst nightmare. It's the worst song you could imagine being stuck with. You don't want to listen to that, because either you've heard it too much, or you just straight up hate it. MC Fizzy, what would be your Desert Island Dick?
Desert Island Dick. That sounds like a dry dick. My dick ain't been dry for ages. let's think. What would be like my worst tune ever?
Yeah, so it's like the song that just really irritates you.
That's a good question, man.
What would make your dick dry?
What would make my dick dry? Let's
exactly.
Think about that.
Come on, you got one.
You got one in there, go on.
I don't know, it probably has to be something like, I can imagine that, like, trying to get in the mood and then like some death metal comes in or something,
yeah.
But I can't.
You can't name it.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, we
name
just
it.
Give you all of the death metal, there you go. You can have it all on the
album. Some Rammstein.
I think we should play a bit of Trap Trap Trap, what do you think?
Do it.
Do you mind introducing it for us, mate?
All right, this is MC Fizzy, and this record's called Trap Trap Trap. Mad thing right now, out on iTunes, cop that, on all your platforms, you know where it is already. Bow!
Man better understand my position, man certified in this thing, the first crew to ever be signed, man was a part setting this whole thing. Man can't tell me about garage, grime, nothing, or any subgenre, mad thing. Man's fully lit, I don't care, man's fully lit, I don't care, trap, 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 caught trap, I don't care, caught trap, I don't care, trap, 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 man's fully lit, I don't care, man's fully lit, I don't care.
Trap, 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 caught trap, I don't care, caught trap, I don't care.
circle. Still got hot girls in my circle. I don't trust him, fam, I don't trust you. If it ain't about guap, then it's about mute. I'm a general, so learn to salute. They watch the pen, sir, E for the troops. They watch the pen, sir, E for the coops. They get the perky for the... Then close at 10:30 when the end's murky. Leave the skin dirty for you dudes. Satellite gem, gem, fling them in the boot. Fling them in the burger, fling them in the shoot. Through my twin, through my T2. I remember man riding to Sheik Luke. Man's fully lit, I don't care. Man's fully lit, I don't care. Trap, trap, trap. Contact, I don't care. Contact, I don't care. Trap, trap, trap. Man's fully lit, I don't care. Man's fully lit, I don't care. Trap, trap, trap. Contact, I don't care. Contact, I don't care. Them man's food is always off key. They don't even deserve a 1, 2, 3. Them man's sometime-ish, my G. So I'm like, give me a picture, let me see. Them man's food is always alright. 8 out of 10, but get a few strikes. But I beg a man, calm down, don't get bright. Cause I got the ting, make you fight like a cat. I got the loud pack, how about that? I got the loud pack, how about that? I got the loud pack, how about that? Not return on the back, it's return on the back. I got the loud pack, how about that? I got the loud pack, how about that? I got the loud pack, how about that? Return on the back, it's return on the back.
Boom, we got Des Menza in the studio right now. How's it going?
I'm all good, man.
You feeling good today?
Yeah, chilling.
Very excited to talk about your new single, Girl For Me.
Oh, thank you.
Featuring Doughboy. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about where this one... It's already out now, so you can go and get it on all the platforms. Tell us a bit about this track. Where did it come from? How did you guys get together on it?
It's just pretty much vibes in the studio. I go to a studio in Peckham with my boy JC. It was just a random one. Normally I just like sit around just thinking of lyrics and melodies and stuff, and one time my cousin who manages me at the minute was talking about how he wanted Danelle Jones vibe on a track, and he went to that song and thought, let's sample that and see how it goes. And I already had like the idea of the song written down and stuff, and then just brought it to JC and see what he could do with it, and he just all managed to get that.
Yeah, so you've been working in the studio a lot, have you?
Yeah, currently just banging out studio sessions.
Because you obviously started off, you were thrust into the spotlight with X Factor.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one, that one, isn't it? You fell in love with Kelly Rowland. I mean, who wouldn't? And then you went on to be part of the boy band Risk, and now you're going solo. Is it difficult to go on the X Factor? Because it looks hard from the outside. It looks like a tough experience.
Yeah, no, very hard. That wasn't the first time I've actually done it, but it was the first time I actually got shown live.
Yeah.
I did it 7 times.
Really?
In 5 years, and it's mad how, like, it looks like it's easy, but it's not. It's far from easy. So many people turn up, obviously, to audition, and it's hard to think how are you gonna be the best out of everyone else, and you just have to hope it's your day that day, really, to be honest.
And do you regret it, or is it something that you like, because it was so difficult, and must have been a scary experience, or is it something you're like, I'm so pleased I did that so that it could kick off what I'm doing now?
Yeah, no, definitely. If it wasn't for X Factor, I don't think I would have like as much people like following my music as I do at the minute. But I could never say I regret doing it, because it was an experience, and it was a decent journey as well. So,
did you kind of enjoy the process as well? Because I mean, you went back 5 times. I know you're aiming to get there, but like, did you enjoy the process as well?
Going there and like continuously, I don't know. Like when I got told no, it was like, oh man.
Mm.
And then the next year would come, I'd be like, yes, let's do it. So it was exciting every time. I was about to do it.
Because I failed my driving test 5 times. And each time, ouch, I was like, oh, I've got this.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah. I was like, okay. I'm walking home.
So. Did you pass your driving test?
I did.
Look at that. Success.
There you go.
Me and you. Success stories.
Success stories. I passed my driving test first time. Just saying.
Oh, well done.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. One minor. No worries.
Wow.
Got on with the teacher really well. So since X Factor, you obviously were in the band. Is it very different to be a solo artist? Do you feel, is there anything changed drastically for you from working with Risk to being solo now?
I think only in performing wise and making your own music, I feel like I've got full control of Well, I have, because it's just me. I don't have to worry about anyone else when I go on stage. It's just me. And that's that part there, going on stage and it just being me, is slightly the downside of it, because if I'm ill, it's just me. and no one can help me out, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's my own vocal. I can control it. I can hear everything. I don't need to be like, yo, the mic's too loud. Well, I do, but like, I can hear myself more than I would if I was with other three guys.
And you also started off it just being you anyway, didn't you? Because you auditioned as a solo. Mm-hmm. So it must have been quite strange going into a band anyway after that.
You know, it wasn't. I was actually looking to get into a band before they actually asked me to.
Perfect.
So it was like, okay, fair enough. As long as we got the same goal, it was all good. So,
do you still keep in touch with the boys?
Yeah, still speaking that. WhatsApp convos and group chats and stuff.
And you're working on your debut EP right now.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's just really about, to be honest, it's just whatever comes to me. And I feel that's the best out of whatever I've made. I lay that down into my EP, but obviously there will be a message within the EP. But the sound... It will sound the same, but it's still different, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited to hear it, aren't we? Should we play a little game with Dez?
Should we play Last Request?
Yes. Let's kick off with Last Request. So we play a little game against each other at every show, where we both pick a song and it's the last song to be played on the show, and we get our guests to tell us which one they'd prefer to hear at the end of the show.
Okay.
So your options are R.E.M. is the first one. It's the end of the world. The End of the World as We Know It. And then we have Video Killed the Radio Star. Why does this one always do that? It's broken, that one. Which one would you rather, Dez?
Because it played twice.
Oh. Yeah! That's not my fault either.
That's not your fault.
That was fair and square.
That was fair. You can just say it got automatic pull up.
Yeah.
There you go.
See? Soz.
That's fine.
The other game we play is called Desert Island
Dicks.
And Dez, in this game, I'm sending you to a desert island.
What?
Yeah, there's just so many. I accidentally trigger fingered that too soon. It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Okay.
And on this game, I send you to a desert island, and you're stuck there for the rest of your life. And you're listening to one song, and you can't stop it. It's over and over again. But it's the worst song you can imagine being stuck with on the desert island.
Okay.
So, Des Mensa, what would be your desert island dick? The worst song you can imagine.
I forgot what it's called, but I can, like...
Sing it.
I'm blue, dabba-dee-da.
Oh, blue. Yeah, it's just that, blue. Yeah, it's actually called dabba-dee, I think. Yeah.
So, I'm blue.
I'm blue, dabba-dee, dabba-dee. Oh, she's going to tell me. Eiffel 65.
There you go, that's the one.
Blue dabba-dee, but it is actually called Blue Dabba-Dee Dabba-Dine by Eiffel 65. Good choice, Dez. Good choice. Should we play a bit of your song? I think we should.
Please do.
Please, can you introduce it for us?
Yep. This is Girl For Me by myself, Dez Mensa, featuring Doughboy.
Yes.
Let them talk, let them hate, let them hate, watching us ride out. Yo, a body shot. shaped like an hourglass. And me, I've never been one to just let time pass. She a queen, rose petals, she kiss her feet. They want a crown, she slay before they reach. You love a mountain and I'm climbing to the peak. You can see all the truth in my eyes when I speak. Block boy, trapper, I had to change my ways. Kept your picture on the wall, sitting in the cage. Feels right.
Maybe get you know the way I feel. Non-stop, I will feel. Up and down the room, I will hear. Give me your ear, and let me sincere. Maybe get you know the way I feel. Non-stop, I will feel. Up and down the room, I will hear. Give me your ear, and let me sincere.
Fubar Radio presents. Access all areas.
Show me a man that doesn't love you.
Jeremy Corbyn. Who ran over someone's foot today?
I mean, Theresa May wouldn't run someone over because she wouldn't get close enough to the general public to do so, would she? Ooh. That would require her getting out and actually meeting real people.
Da, 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 da. Bum, bum. I actually have run over someone's foot. Lionel Richie, I was outside the Dorchester and everyone was jumping on my car going, stop, stop, stop. I was like, I'm only parking. And they said, you run over Lionel Richie's foot.
Oopsie.
Every Thursday.
Access all areas.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Hola. Hola. Yeah. Yeah. Wear black, black. I don't even know why I made the intro 16. Yeah. Yeah. Look. I wanted this for my whole life. Wanna make memories for my whole life. I never knew this would be my life. Fucking bad bitches for my whole life. My whole life. My whole life. It's alright, it's alright. Me, I got my jewelry and my clothes right. Swag is on point, level so high. If you're saying you're somebody, you be so lie. I be somebody, I'm a known guy. I wanted it for my whole life. Wanna make millions for my whole life. I never knew this would be my life. Fucking bad bitches for my whole life. The whole pot. If I choose a woman, she needs a whole pot. I avoid women living a broke life. Hey, the niggas, they want me to take a nosedive. But I just put on a smile when it comes to showtime. I wanted it for my whole life. Wanna make millions for my whole life. I never knew this would be my life. Fucking bad bitch for my whole life.
Well, I wanted money for my whole life. I'm still whipping 36s from whole nines, no lie. We make shit happen up in no time. You're running around the city chasing girls, I pay him no mind. And when I check it, bro, I swear that I got no life. We're either cashing or I'm shutting for the whole night. And I got no wife. So I told her even if we had a job, me and you, we ain't got no ties, no strings. You talk about guns, you ain't got no tings. Talking about your trapping, 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 you got no bling. I swear my bitch is bad, bro, she's working with a nose ring. And she don't even smoke weed, she's more up on a nose ting. That's hella bad. And if you're talking Montclair, I done hella that. I got like 10 puffers, that's a 7 stack. So when my brother needs a postal, I just send him that. My little nigga needs a gun to ride, so I'ma lend him that. I wanted it for my whole life. Wanna make memories for my whole life. I never knew this would be my life. Fucking bad bitch for my whole life. My whole life, 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 my whole life. I wanted it for my whole life. Wanna make memories for my whole life. I never knew this would be my life. Fucking bad bitch.
Danao, Whole Life featuring Freddo. Ah! You're good at that. You should have got him to get you to do that.
Get me in the studio.
Got you, get him, go there. So, the other day, I had a really interesting chat with Justin Tipping about Justin Tipping and Christopher Jordan Wallace about the new film Kicks. Christopher's in it, Justin directed it. And I'm going to play you a clip from a game that I played with Justin. It's all about shoes, trainers, and I did a little game with him where I made him guess whether the name of the trainer that I was showing him was the correct or not, and he was so good at the game. So good at the game. It was unreal. He was like Rain Man. He was like, okay, the shoe is this colour, it's from this area, like this can't be correct because of this. It was amazing.
Bathburn baby.
The name of this shoe
is
supposedly is Nike Air One Eggplant.
Yes.
Correct. The thing is, color. I know that's an American shoe because we don't call eggplants here. We call them an aubergine.
Oh, okay.
So it would be, in England, it would be the Nike Air One aubergine.
So
it does not sound as good.
No. But in texting, do you say, oh, I just got sent the
aubergine emoji?
Aubergine emoji?
I mean, here it means a very different thing. The aubergine emoji has got many connotations that
it's sort of eggplant. It does. Yeah, we're on. Okay,
we're on the same.
Yeah,
we're on
the. It's just different.
Okay.
All right. Shoe game.
Back to the shoes. Can you guess what we were talking about?
Dicks and Willies.
Correct. We were.
Dicks and Willies.
Funny, funny
and
guy,
Willies.
Justin Tipping. And then I went on to actually interview him with Christopher Jordan Wallace about the film. So Christopher Jordan Wallace is the son of Notorious B.I.G.
That is a B.I.G. deal.
Yeah, I know, right? He's also absolutely sweet, 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 lovely.
Sweetheart.
Sweetheart. Both had very nice shoes on at the time as well in the interview. But it was a really nice chat. The film's really good, by the way. I got a secret pre-screening of it. It's really good.
Have you been to America much?
I'm more of like a in a Disneyland sense, like not in a proper way.
Americans always have the cleanest shoes.
Yeah, clean, clean, clean. So fresh, so clean.
So fresh and so
ain't
clean.
Ain't nobody don't pass me. Yeah, I'm just so fresh, so clean.
So fresh, so clean.
That's terrifying what you did there. Should we listen to my chat with Christopher and Justin?
Oh yes,
please.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio with Loza.
I'm chatting to Christopher Jordan Wallace, a.k.a. CJ, and Justin Tipping, director of Kicks. Guys, how are you doing?
Great.
Fantastic.
Are you having a lot of fun in the UK?
Oh, yeah.
We're very happy to have you.
Shoes.
Yeah. Justin, what made you pick Christopher for this role?
His impeccable comedic timing. Mm. And he was just a genuinely nice kid. I can't say kid at the time.
Yeah,
kid.
I was young. No facial hair.
And he was easy to work with, and you know, we adapted a lot of the role to cater to his sensibilities as far as the comedy went. So he brought more than I could have ever asked for to the character.
And CJ, Albert is a little bit naughty.
Mm-hmm.
Was it difficult to play a naughty boy, or was it like, you know, you were just like, this is me, I can do this?
I knew I could do it. It was just, you know, looking past what my mom's going to think, what my grandma's going to think. But yeah, when my mom came up to the set, it was, you know, she was cracking up. I had showed her, you know, certain parts of the script before I had went out, so told her to be prepared for couple a-holes and a couple, you know, F-bombs here and there. But, you know, she was cracking up every time we went to the movies and saw it. So it was funny.
So you didn't get too much of a telling off afterwards, no?
No.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And your character, of course, is a budding rapper. And in real life, you just recorded an album, am I right?
I'm actually working on it with my brother and another member of the group that I'm in.
Amazing.
We're working on this project.
So was it a perfect sort of culmination for you, because you're merging the two things that you clearly enjoy, music and acting at the same time? Was that helpful for you with this role in Kicks?
Definitely. I've always felt like I've, you know, wanted to do both, and that the two are synonymous with each other. And yeah, I've never felt like I had to choose one. I always felt like they both be, you know, in the same lane.
Yeah, it would be hard to choose, right?
Exactly.
And Kicks focuses around a soundtrack. You sort of chapter it on different sort of huge hip-hop tracks. Did that come before or after? Was it sort of synonymous with you directing the piece? Or was it sort of as you go, you realised it was a sort of good way to place mark the different scenes and the different chapters of the movie?
I always knew from the script phase that I was going to chapter it with hip-hop. I mean, other films and coming-of-age films I love use the same technique, but I wanted to figure out what was natural to the story, which was essentially a hip-hop story. So, you know, the quotes kind of, some of them changed, but some of the cues remained the same. And even before I met CJ, you know, the character was rapping, you know, Biggie in his head in, like, this voiceover. So, which he raps in his head throughout the movie, and so the music was always a fabric of the story from the beginning, and it was more of like the Greek chorus of the episodes of his journey, just trying to figure out how to do it in the hip hop. What's the hip hop version of that? So,
that's in a way, it sort of brought you guys together as friends, as characters. Did you feel that added to the enjoyment of making the movie with these boys, because you were enjoying music at the same time, sort of together as a group?
Definitely. And, you know, we all actually make music outside of acting. I'm not the only one who raps. Chris and Joaquin rap. So, you know, there were times where they'd come over to my apartment that I was staying at when we were out in Oakland, and we would just be up late, just, you know, watching Paid in Full, watching other, you know, Juice and some of our favorite movies, just to get into, you know, the vibe that we were in. And we would even write raps and just to really try to play this role. And
you even, there's a moment in the film where they're freestyling in the park. That's just them freestyling.
Yeah,
the
it wasn't. Yeah, we just do that.
This is method acting to another level. The most fun method acting. This is not like that sad kind where you actually feel really sad afterwards. This is like you come away being like, I'm going to be a rapper now. Like, this is
exactly.
Legit. So on the slightly like darker side, the idea of masculinity and violence is quite a theme throughout, and sort of the idea that men need to be this masculine, physically violent person to show that they're a man. Is this something you guys experienced as youngsters, you know, growing up with kids and friends around you? Because I know that, Justin, you had a personal experience with this, yeah, which linked to the movie. So was that sort of what the catalyst for creating this film?
Yeah, definitely for me. I was jumped over a pair of trainers. Kicks, as we say in the States. And even before that, I think growing up, even through middle school, through elementary school, you know, you're always taught to suppress your emotions. You can't show vulnerability. And obviously, I think at some point, violence does find you, and you have to figure out how to stand up to it. But if you take a beating, I think the ultimate resolve is learning how to walk away. Otherwise, the cycle continues and hate begets hate. So, yeah, I hope that, you know, the film speaks to the larger picture of that problem.
And CJ, is it something you experienced as a youngster as well?
Definitely. You know, growing up, I played a lot of Pop Warner football from like 5 till I was 15. So, you know, football, one of the most violent sports. And I was young, like younger than 9. So you're always scared of the bigger kids. And, you know, at a young age, I was introduced to the masculinity and violence and how to deal with that. But luckily, I was always the bigger kid on the team, so I never really had to be scared of anyone. But
But yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hurt myself.
Thank you so much for chatting to us, guys. I absolutely love the movie.
Thank you.
It's wicked. I'm going to go home and watch it again, actually.
Really?
Too good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine, hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop, smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Raw G, Brucey B, Kid Capri, Funk Master Flex, Love Bug Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap. I smoke stuff with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast, condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carrots in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa. Got 2 rides, a limousine with the chauffeur. Phone bill about 2 G's flat. No need to worry, my accountant handles that. And my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. Thinking back on my one-room shack, now my mom pimps a act with minks on her back. And she loves to show me off, of course. Smiles every time my face is up in the sauce. We used to fuss when the landlord dissed us. No heat, wonder why Christmas missed us. Birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we thirsty. Damn right I like the life I live. Cause I went from negative to positive. And it's all. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. Representing B-Town in the house. Junior Mafia, Mad Flavor.
lead singer, joins me on the phone right now. Tamoya, how's it going? Tamoya, are you there? Oh, and I think we've lost you. Oh, that's a shame. We'll bring back Tamoya in a minute as soon as we can. But in the meantime, let's bring back Tom. Are you there, Tom?
Hey, I'm here.
How are you, mate?
I am great. How are you?
Good. In a minute, we're going to be talking to Tamoya, who is the lead singer of Puma Rosa, a wicked, wicked band who's going to be heading down to Great Escape this weekend.
And you're going?
I'm going. I'm bloody ready going.
In Brighton, what are you doing there?
I'm going to go and check them out as well because I really, really like their vibe. Really, really like it.
Cool, cool. Are you DJing whilst you're there?
So I'm not DJing. What I'm doing is I'm going down on behalf of FUBAR Radio, and I'm going to do a full scale review for you next week.
I'm excited.
Whoa.
Uh oh.
Going down straight after the show, actually, tonight.
I saw your goodie bag for the train.
I have done that. Goodie bag for the train. I've got 2 bottles of mini Prosecco.
Because why not?
Well, exactly.
It's
Tom.
A Thursday.
I've got 2 bottles of mini Prosecco, and I went and bought a tiny pink champagne glass that's plastic to take on the tube alone with me.
That's fantastic.
Plastic, fantastic. But yeah, so Great Escape, if you don't know much about it, is in Brighton, and you can go around. There's stages all over Brighton, and it's really cool. You just go, there's like pubs, venues, spaces, all involved, and you can just go and see loads. Like ID are going down, Vivo are there. I'm going to be going down hanging with the Vivo crew. And loads of different brands and stuff go down, like PMR and the people who do all the music stuff. Coalition are doing a stage. That's where these guys are playing. Playing on the Coalition stage.
Do you buy a ticket for the whole thing, or is it just a case of these bars are all open and you can go in?
You can do a couple of things. You can be on the list. It's kind of, there's the music industry side where you can sort of have a music industry pass to go into certain things. Mm-hmm. And then there's the like ticket pass, which I've got, which is just gets me into everything, I think.
Sweet.
I think it does anyway.
You're excited?
I'm really, really excited. I really hope that the sun comes out.
I think it will.
I think it will too.
Brighton is a lovely place.
Have you been to the Great Escape before?
I've never been.
It's really got such a nice vibe. Everyone there is like really cool, fun, chilled, and everyone's just sort of having a drink. I mean, last year it was boiling, blisteringly hot.
Too
so hopefully
hot?
No, I like the heat. But it was hot, hot heat. Mm. So, you know, there was no shying away from that hot, hot heat, you know?
I think I understand what you mean.
So I'm getting the train down. It's an hour's train from London. And I think you can still get tickets now, guys. So you should head. Also, if you just want to head down and go and be around it, it's got such a nice atmosphere when there's everyone there.
There's a lot of upcoming artists there as well. So you
huge
you know,
amount. Huge
you can see
amount.
Them now in intimate locations where, you
including
know,
Puma Rosa.
Exactly.
Who are a wicked, wicked band. And I'm really excited to speak to Tamoya in a minute when we get her back on the line. But we're just trying to get her back on the line now. But while we're waiting, should we play a little song?
Yeah, can we play...
what would you like to play?
Can we play Harry Styles' one?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to?
I'm
this
interested.
Is really nice. I like it a lot. This is Carolina. Have you listened to it before?
Oh, Carolina. No,
it's
I haven't.
It's not that one, sadly.
Well...
Let's see after this if Tom likes this one as much as he likes...
Or Carolina.
No, Niles.
Niles, Slow Hands.
Yeah, Slow Hands.
She's got a family in Carolina. So far away, but she says I remind her of home. So far from home. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Hi, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. You?
Very good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. Sorry about that little mishap, but we chatted a bit about Great Escape while you were gone.
Oh, good.
So you guys are going to be performing on Saturday, right?
Yeah, on Saturday, the New Shape stage, I think it is.
Yeah, it's the Coalition one, isn't it? It's really cool there. I love Great Escape anyway, but Coalition's a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, good.
Are you guys looking for Puma Rosa looking forward to performing?
Yeah, it feels like a while since we've done a gig. So, looking forward to going and playing.
And you dropped the single, and the album is Priestess, and the album The Witch is out tomorrow, is that right?
Yeah, tomorrow, finally.
So exciting. So you're going to be playing on a bit of a high on Saturday then, if you've just released the album?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's kind of been ready. We've had it ready for a while, so it's just been, you know, waiting to put it out and stuff. So, yeah.
So how will you be celebrating? Are you going to be running around checking out the other gigs at the Great Escape?
Yeah, maybe. And also my sister lives in Brighton, so I might hang out with her, go to some gigs. Oh. It's always fun to go down to Brighton. So.
And it's nice to have a pal as well, isn't it, that knows their way around?
Exactly, yes.
So tell us a little bit about Priestess and what it's about, where it came from.
So Priestess is a song about Isabel. So Isabel's actually the singer. And it's about her sister, who's the dancer.
Yeah, she said about it, she talked about it, about she wanted to sing about women and sort of the characters and feelings, like sexual, otherwise, and sort of the relationships they feel, because she feels like it's not really portrayed enough. It's a lot from the male perspective. Do you sort of agree with that? Are you on the same vibe? Do you feel like you guys need to be promoting this sort of more female side of things?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think often if you go and like listen to loads of music, there is a lot of stuff from the male perspective, so it's good to have a balance.
And I think as well, if you're the word like feminist is quite, I'm a feminist personally, and it's got a lot of stigma attached to it, but I think it's a word that people don't realise that men and women can associate with. Would you call yourself a feminist? Or
yeah, definitely. I mean, to me, feminism is just another part of equality, really, and that's completely important more than anything else, I think.
100%. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us.
No problem.
Everyone needs to go to Great Escape. I'm coming down. I'm going to come down and see you guys. I'm really looking forward to it. Down. You're going to be there on Saturday, 11:15, at the Coalition stage. We're going to play your track now. Will you introduce it for us?
Priestess.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Tamoya from Puma Rosa, and this is Priestess.
Thanks so much. Speak soon. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
Desmond joins us live in studio Fubar Radio right now.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Very, very well. My first question, I'm going straight in here.
Going straight in, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're from Wolverhampton, right?
Yeah, I'm from Wolves, though.
My ends.
Your ends, yeah?
Yeah, well, nearly. I'm from near Birmingham, so it's sort of the same vibe, right?
Yeah.
Now, we were talking the other day, I was talking with some pals of mine, and they actually do a radio show on this show. They're some grime producers. And we were talking about artists coming from outside of London and then coming into a scene that is predominantly based in London. Did you find it difficult breaking into that scene?
Yeah, kind of. Dependent on, basically, the distance, like, being in the Midlands and stuff is kind of hard. Like, travelling, because obviously, as you know, London's where everything's popping, but I'm just willing to travel and just put the miles in.
Yeah, you just come down. So you still live in Wolverhampton, you just...
Nah. I live in Cardiff, innit?
Oh.
Because basically, I went to uni, innit? So...
Cardiff's cool, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
Abby, the girl that keeps coming in and out just then,
yeah.
She's actually... are you from Cardiff, Abby? She's from Cardiff. She's Welsh.
Cardiff gang. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Large of Abby, innit?
Yeah.
What part of Cardiff are you from?
Yeah, tell us, Abby. Heath. She's from Heath.
Okay.
I've never been, but I've met her and she seems fine.
That's
so
the posh part. That's the posh part.
Is it? Oh, Abby, didn't realise you were posh. Abby's posh. Abby's posh. Let's talk a bit about Chat Too Fast, the new track.
Tell us
about this. Where did it come from? Where did you write it up in Cardiff?
Yeah.
Is that where it all came from?
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about it.
Basically, Chat Too Fast, yeah. It happened organically, like, going back September last year, I released Wagwan, and that got loads of love from Cyan Anderson and that on One Extra and stuff. And then I reached out to Flirter D and I said, "Yo, bro, I wanna work with you on something." And he was like, "I see that you're working, you up and coming. That's what I'm about." So I was like, "All right, cool, let's work on something." So then basically pitched over the idea to him. He was like, "You know what? I feel it." So I said, "All right, then, cool. Let's link up, let's do it." It took us about, there was a lot of to and fro because I wanted to get it perfect. So obviously he had problems certain times, I had problems certain times, life commitments and whatnot. And then when it came together and we got back the final mix, I was like, "Whoa, this one's special." So I kind of knew that, I kind of wanted it and I hoped that it would do something powerful. And obviously the response that it's getting now is just love.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
You and Flirt D as well, it's the vibe is very strong. You bounce off each other really, really well. It really works.
Yeah, but you know what it is? For me, yeah, like, Chat Too Fast is legendary for me because I remember when I was, like, 14, 15, going home, watching Channel U, hearing Flirter and Hype, oh, shit. So for me, to do a tune with him now is legendary. For me, you get me. And obviously, one thing that I was scared about before... what I've seen before is like when people do collaborations with big artists and that, they don't really bring their side to the table up. So it's like the feature made the tune, whereas like everyone that's heard Chat Too Fast is like, you both bounce off each other. Like, it's a good catchy tune. And
yeah, 100%. It's definitely like you bounce off each other. It's like a rhythm that is, it almost makes sense. Like you're always together, you know?
Yeah, that's just organic. That's just real. That's just real man them.
Is there anyone else in the grime scene that you'd be gagging to work with, get in the studio and make a tune with at the moment?
There's a few people still.
Yeah?
There's a few people. Like, I've been listening a lot to AJ Tracy at the moment. His EP is hard. Dave's hard. Capo Lee's hard. Large Up Capo Lee and Slap One on their new single, Girl from Brum or whatever it's called. That's hard, you get me? But right now, I'm just doing music for the love of it. So anyone that loves music and does it for the love of it, I'm just trying to work with loads of everyone while my career goes on. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you're just trying to collab and work with people and get it going.
With collabs, because you mentioned you contacted him and it just seemed to work and you like connected and whatnot.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it where you've tried to get in touch with someone and it just hasn't worked?
Yeah. Obviously, that's just... you get that all the time. Like, obviously, luckily... like, basically, with Flirter D, yeah, I didn't expect him to be so organic the way he got back to me and just... it was like Instagram DM. Whereas, say, for example, if I was to holler at someone else, it might not get to yeah. them, or they might just dismiss it. That might not mean they don't want to work with me. It just means they might be too busy in day-to-day sure. life or whatnot.
Are people in the scene, do they tend to be quite supportive of that? And upcoming artists, like...
The grime world seems to be that way.
Yeah,
seems
they are. Definitely, they are. Obviously, you got some that are more supportive than others, but obviously that could just be to their personal aspirations or their workload or whatnot. Obviously, if someone's got loads of things doing, then you can't really...
Yeah, sure.
You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a lot... If it's Beyonce, she's probably pretty busy, you know? Like, I try and text Beyonce every day and get her to do a collab with me. She's not having any of it.
One day it'll happen, man. Now, you know what? I'm a true believer in, yeah, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Like, I've been doing music for years, you get me? Like, I've got loads of friends that are in the music game, you get me? And, like, right now it's my time because nothing happens before it's time, you get me?
Like I totally agree.
Like, I've done all that education stuff out the way, so there's no more of that. So now I can just focus on me and my music and hopefully see if I can take it places.
So what's coming next with you? What's the next plans?
I'm working on something now. Well, it's sort of been in the process. We're just working on the video at the moment, a new single. I'm not going to let that one out. But that's going to be a part of a big campaign, which is basically Sick With It. So that's going to be a proper, like... project that I'm working on. There's also going to be a Wagwan remix featuring some big names from the grime scene, and that's about it really. I'm just trying to get my name out there and get my story to be heard, because I've got a story to tell, you get me?
Well, we're loving it, aren't we?
We are.
And I like the fact that you're from Wolverhampton. I want more people from like outside of London to come in and sort of show their talents off.
Yeah.
I mean Cardiff.
No. Wolves, Cardiff, you get me? Obviously, I'm from Wolverhampton, born and bred Wolves, but obviously, I love my Welsh gang too.
We love Welsh people as well. Abby, we let her work here.
We let her.
She's not very good at her job, but because she's Welsh, we...
Nah,
she's rubbish. Look at her, she's going to hit me when I get out there.
Yeah.
Will you play a game with us?
What game's this?
Well, it's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And on this Aixman, in this game I've got to send you to a desert island, right?
Yeah.
And you're listening to one song for the rest of your life, but it's the worst possible song you can imagine listening to.
Okay.
But that might be because you've over listened to it, or it might be because you just hate it.
Okay.
So Aixman, what would be your desert island dick?
What's this, the song or the
song? So it's a song. The dick is the song. It's just like, like, you know, you'd say dickhead.
Yeah.
It's like the dick, the desert island dick.
So I can pick any song.
Yeah. That you don't like.
The
yeah.
worst song.
The worst song that I don't like. What, any genre?
Anything, any way, anyhow.
Can't put me on a spot like that.
I know.
That's mad. I don't want to offend anybody.
No, you won't offend anyone, because it's not like... It doesn't always have to be that you hate the song. It can sometimes be that you just...
You might love it too much. You might have played it too much.
If a song I had to play too much, yeah. Going back. You know what, actually? A wicked one. So people know that I've been locked in from years ago, yeah. What's that song by Mr. Wong? Back in the day. Back in the day on Channel U. It was like multicolored and that. It was sick.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Wong. What was it? Not on a longage. Mr. Wong, way back.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Way back when?
You are way back then.
I taught you something today.
Yeah, you have. I'm learning.
You get me?
You've definitely taught Tom.
Yeah.
You haven't got a clue, have you, mate?
Not a clue.
Mr. Wong.
And you can play the next game if you want. This is easier. This is a lot easier.
Basically, me and Harriet, we both have a last request for the end of the show. Just want you to pick which one you would vote for. For the last song on the show.
Yeah, so it's between these two. The first one is R.E.M.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Or Video Killed the Radio Star. Which would you rather hear at the end of the show?
I don't know, man. You know what? If I had to pick, yeah. Probably End of the Radio Star, just because it sounds a bit more like...
Yeah, boy! You're losing.
Winning. Yeah, don't worry about it.
X-Men, I think we should play a bit of your song. Can you introduce it for us?
Yeah, right now, Chat Too Fast featuring myself, X-Man, Chat Too Fast featuring Flitter D, out right now, iTunes, Spotify, all of that, you don't know. Large up Harriet Rose and Tom, you get me, on Food Bar Radio. Blah.
Yeah!
Legendary. Oh, yeah! Who's ready?
X-Men. Bar Radio presents Joey
Page. Time to welcome Kate Nash into the studio. Being in LA, how has that impacted the way that you write your music?
I hated it for the longest time because I hate Hollywood, because I could totally see how people get affected. For me, coming home to London immediately resets me. The diversity in London is something that you just can't find many places. The differences are so huge, and I appreciate that I got to grow up in this city that was challenging and political, but like about blending and mixing and sharing, and like that's totally what my youth was.
Every Wednesday,
Joey Page
from 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Landon McNamara joins us right now, all the way from Hawaii on FUBAR Radio. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Just rolled out of bed to get on the phone with you guys.
We are really grateful for that. I'm so sorry that you're having to get up. I think it's 6:30 in the morning there, right?
Yep, yep.
Well, thank you.
Don't be sorry.
We're very happy to have you here. We're very happy to have you. We're so excited as well because we're going to be seeing you at Boardmasters Festival.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. I've never been to the UK, so yeah, fun experience.
As a surfer and a musician, you must be so excited to play on a beach overlooking the sea with time to go and surf and make music at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like the best of both worlds for me, so I can't complain at all. I'm super excited.
Did surfing sort of come... It seems surfing and music seems to come hand in hand. I mean, you never see like a surf video without some epic music backing it up. Did you find that when you started, was there one that came first, or were they both synonymous? Did they come at the same time?
I was born into a surfing family, so surfing came first. And just growing up where I live, it's kind of the surfing epicenter of the world, so surfing came first. But like you said, there's some special relationship between music and surfing. Always been there from the beginning, so I guess you could say they both came at the same time. But I started surfing before started playing music, but the music was always there.
It says you used to see Jack Johnson surfing when you were younger. Was he a good surfer?
Oh yeah, he rips. Jack Johnson lives like a couple roads away from me, so I got to grow up watching him surf and listening to his music too. So he was definitely a big inspiration.
Do you think the surfing makes it, because you both kind of very mellow and chilled vibes, do you think like living in Hawaii with the surfing, do you think that kind of influences your music to be that kind of way?
Definitely. I mean, growing up next to the beach in a tropical paradise, it definitely rubs off on you and what you feel and how you live your life, so... Definitely, yeah.
I have to say, I'm probably the most jealous person in the world right now that you live that life. I mean, don't get me wrong, I tried surfing once and I cried because I saw a jellyfish, but everything else about your life sounds absolutely perfect.
Well, yeah, I mean, can't complain at all. I mean, no one's life is perfect, but it's definitely a beautiful place to live, and I wouldn't ever want to live anywhere else.
And your debut album, A Dollar Short and A Minute Late, that went to number one on the iTunes Reggae chart, which is incredible. It's doing really well, getting a great reception. Did you expect it to sort of do so well, or did you just do it because you wanted to make something that you loved?
I really had no clue what was going to happen. I had the opportunity to record some songs that I had been making just for myself or whatever, and I don't know, everything happened really quick and I was real surprised, but...
Oh, we've lost you
know.
There.
Yeah,
we just lost you there, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, that was my alarm clock.
Oh, don't worry. I'm so sorry. I feel so guilty at getting you up at 6:30 in the morning. Yeah, no, it must be...
No.
It must be such a good vibe. It just... I feel chilled just talking to you. I want to come out there and just lie down and listen to you play music. Sounds like such a chill vibe. Oh.
Well, yeah, let me know. Come out.
Oh, my God, yeah. Maybe I can come and see you at Boardmasters, and then we can go back to Hawaii and just chill.
All right.
Yes.
Jump on the bandwagon.
Yes. So, obviously, there's loads of amazing artists playing. You've got Newton Faulkner, Jamiroquai, Two Door Cinema Club are headlining. Are you going to be able to have a chance to go and check out the other artists while you're down in Cornwall at Boardmasters?
Oh, most definitely. I like to enjoy myself as well when I get to come to amazing events like this. So I'm going to definitely spend some time checking out everything and experiencing all the sessions and just the whole vibe of the event. So. Yeah,
it's going to be a wicked festival. It's such a nice... We've spoken to a lot of the artists who've performed there before, and it's apparently the most beautiful thing to see the sunset over the stage, and it's just a very chill... It sounds like the perfect festival for you, to be honest.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm, like I said, I'm super excited to come over there and
Well, is it your first time in Cornwall?
Yeah, I've never been over there yet.
Well, we're excited to have you. On the show, I just wanted to ask you if you could play a quick game with me. Would you mind?
Yeah, okay.
So we play a game called Desert Island Dicks on the show. And in the game, I send you to a desert island, which, I mean, I guess you kind of live in, not the desert, but in the beach, so you can imagine it. And basically, you have to pick a song that you hate to be stuck with there for the rest of your life. It's a bit of a weird one, but that is your desert island dick. That's the thing you hate the most about this desert island. So, London McNamara, what would be your desert island dick?
Maybe, I don't know, the first thing that came into my head was that fucking Gangnam Style song or something.
Oh, yeah, a bit of Psy. Psy is a popular choice on this game.
Strong choice.
Yeah, strong choice. Very, very strong choice. And then before...
All right, that's good.
Yeah, very, very good. And before we play, we're going to play Don't Go Away in a little minute, but we've also got another game for you. Sorry, so many games. We're just such... pranksters on this show, lol. We pick a song for the end of the show, and me and Tom, who you heard a minute ago, we go against each other each show. So we've got two songs to choose from. We just want you to pick which is your favourite and you'd like to hear at the last song of the show. So the first one is R.A.M. It's the end of the world as we know it. And then the next one is Video Killed the Radio Star.
I'm gonna have to go with the first one because honestly, I haven't heard that second one before.
Yeah. Okay, that's Tom's. Tom's very happy because he picked his choice.
Great choice.
Landon, thank you so much for having a chat with us. We look forward to seeing you at Boardmasters this year. That's happening 9th to the 13th of August.
All right. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me, and I'm super excited to come check it out. And I'll see you guys there.
You can go back to back to bed now.
Oh, I most definitely will.
This is Don't Go Away. Thanks so much.
All right, aloha.
So won't ya come back my way, easy, come back my way. And I hear this song and sing along, cause I'm here to stay, but when those days are long and the nights are cold, who's gonna keep you warm? Well, I want you in the daylight and I want you in my moonlight. I just want you by my side. And I want you with the sunrays, and I want you when I stargaze. I just want you by my side. And I don't want you to go away. Said I don't want you to go away now. Said I hate when you just can't stay. So won't you come back my way? Come back my way. Say come back my way. And I ain't stopping till I reach my paradise with my island girl, where the thoughts are pure, waves are mean, and the vibes are nice. Other people, if I play with a smile, and it's so easy to just get away. Escape from now, we're gonna leave this town. Country bound, but our beauty surrounds. I. Cause I don't want you to go away. Said I don't want you.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
With Nozza.
Shoop, Push It, Let's Talk About Sex, some of my favourite songs in the whole world. I am absolutely honoured to have Cheryl, aka Salt, on the line of Salt and Pepper. How's it going?
I am great. How are you?
I'm so, so excited to have you on the show. You have no idea. I'm a huge, huge fan of yours.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you a bit about, you know, you guys are obviously hip-hop trailblazers. When you started, it was a very male-dominated game. You changed the game for all female rappers. Did you know at the time that you were making such a huge impact on the music scene?
You know what? No, absolutely not. In the beginning, you know, I was in a... my first year of college, and school just wasn't for me, and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. When I got on the mic and I got in the studio, I knew that this was going to be huge. It was just something in my spirit. I have no idea, but I had no plan B. This was the thing I always say that saved my life, you know, when I found my passion, and I was determined to make a success of Salt and Pepper. I ate, slept, breathed, practiced, you know, did everything that I could. It was nothing that I wouldn't do. I'd tie dancers' shoes. I'd go shopping for the group. It didn't matter. You know, I knew it would be something successful. But when you're in the process, you know, you're just in your process. You're just doing what you love. You're really not thinking. Real artists that love the art don't really think, I don't think about the money and the success. They're just always in the moment. And so being in the moment, did I think 31 years later that we would still be selling out arenas and on tour for years at a time? Because I Love the 90s tour, we're a year and a half in over here in the States and in Canada, and now we're about to take it to Europe and to Australia. And I'm dumbfounded. I'm just amazed at the success of this tour.
And I think for me, as a person who's loved you since I was so young, you were a real inspiration for me. One of the main reasons I got such a love for hip hop at such a young age. And I feel as a woman, you influenced me massively, and you influenced so many females, artists, people who just love the music, people who wanted to become musicians. Would you guys consider yourselves as feminists, or was it just something natural that came from the Salt and Pepper movement?
Yeah, you know, I think that the success of most groups that really, whether you like them or not, you know, when they're successful, something happens, right? Like a glass ceiling was broken, and they spoke to the masses in a way, even if it wasn't you that group. I respect groups that make it, because I'm like, even if I don't like their music or particularly have a fondness for their music, I know that they there's a formula, you know, there's something that happened, and part of it is what you told me. You know, I shaped your life. I inspired you, you know, I changed your life some kind of way by what I was doing or what I was saying. And I think that comes from not planning. I don't think you can plan that, you know. I think that's just authenticity. Salt and Pepper brought fun fashion and femininity to hip-hop, you know, and I think we were always real about everything that we did, everything we wore, everything we said, you know, and people get around us even to this day. That whole icon thing for me is like, I have to have an out-of-body experience to even appreciate that word. You know, I have to step away from myself and look at it like you would look at it and say, oh, wow, that is pretty damn iconic, you know, what we accomplished. And that happens through the fans. When they come to the show and they're in their Kente hats and their Pusha jackets that they made, and their Salt and Pepper t-shirts, and they're in their 90s garb. I'm just like, wow. That tells me, you know, how much what we did really, really impacted people's lives. And I love it. It makes it almost like a ministry to me. I love hearing that. I can't hear that kind of stuff enough. You know, how I positively impacted your life.
Well, I'd like to say a huge thank you on behalf of just myself and everybody else that you guys have positively impacted. And I was desperate to be in Salt and Pepper, by the way. I wanted to be an extra member. I never would be, because I've got no musical talent. But is there any advice you could give to young girls out there that are looking to sort of get into the industry and become part of the music scene?
Oh, man, be authentic. You know, be yourself. There's a lot of cookie cutters out there, and they come and they go. You can count them on, you know, your hands. It's like, oh, what happened to so-and-so? You know, if you really want to be an artist and you really want to last, you have to hold on to your authenticity. Pink is a great example. You know, they started her out as a R&B singer, you know, and she had to fight the record company about her sound and wanting her sound to be her own. And she never came into her own until she was allowed to be herself. So that's key to me. Of course, take care of your business. All those old stories are true. They don't have to happen to you. If you pay attention, it's art, but it's also math. And artists hate math, but you got to do your math. You got to know about your publishing and your royalties and, you know, where your money comes from and making sure you or someone you trust stays on top of that.
That's sound advice, and I hope everyone listening is taking that in. Now, let's get to the most exciting part of this interview. You guys are coming to the UK. You're coming to London. You're going across the UK on the Love the 90s tour, and you're going into Europe as well. We are so excited to have you guys here. Are you looking forward to getting on stage in the UK?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's been a really long time since we've been to the UK. I was just thinking about that this morning. Even though we've been back on the road, Salt and Pepper disbanded for about 10 years. I was the culprit. I left the group to go to stay home and raise my family and just take a break before I lost my mind. And then we got back together in 2008. So we've been steadily touring, you know, weekends and here and there over the years. And then the I Love the 90s tour came up. And so when I saw UK on the calendar, I started thinking, it's been a really long time. And I am excited to see my old friends, because this is really the truth. Your response, it's always so overwhelming. It's loud. It's welcoming, I guess, because, you know, we're not there that often. It's a whole nother level. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, we definitely take advantage of it. When we get you here, we're going to go crazy for it.
Yeah.
And of course, there's loads of other 90s artists on the tour. Coolio, Colour Me Bad, Vanilla Ice. Have you been having a lot of fun with those guys on the Love the 90s tour? Because you're obviously going across the US and you have been doing for the past sort of year and a half. Has it been a lot of fun working with a lot of other artists on this project?
Yeah, it has been fun, especially with the Coolio crew and Colour Me Bad. You know what it's like? You know, like in the 90s, it was more on the road. It was less competitive and more about a big party, and everybody was friends and everybody was cool. And we, even back in the day, we shared a bus with Heavy D and the boys. You know, it was back then. Everybody just got along. And so it's reminiscent of that time for me, being on the road with all those guys.
And do you have a favorite song that you, because obviously, well, for me, I can't choose because there's too many, but do you have a favorite song that you guys like to perform when you perform it live? Is it like the most exciting song to perform live?
You know what, when we first started, you know, before the mega hits like Push It, one of the songs that we did is I'll Take Your Man. That's
yes.
Really, you know, as an art, yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
As an artist, you know, you want to grab the streets first, and that's the song really truly that rooted us in the legitimacy of this group, because when we did that song, we took the streets. And that's a song that surprises me, because I know it was a hit in the urban areas in the United States, but when I go and I do Canada and I do all these different places and everybody jumps to I'll Take Your Man, it always takes me by surprise. Like, it took me by surprise that you just now went, yes!
Yeah.
You know, so that's actually, ironically, out of all the songs, Shoot, of course, I love. That's one of my favorite Salt and Pepper songs. But to perform I'll Take Your Man is so hardcore. It makes the girls lose their minds. So I love performing that one.
Well, I think we'll play that today then. That sounds like a very good song to play. We'll pick that one. Before you go, I play a little game on the show, and it's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
In this game,
uh-oh.
Yeah. In this game, don't worry. It's not as bad as it seems, I promise. In this game, I send you to a desert island, and Cheryl, you're going to have to answer on behalf of all of Salt and Pepper on this one. On this desert island, you have to pick a song that you're going to listen to for the rest of your life, but it's the worst possible song you can imagine being stuck with. So it's something that really irritates you, or it's a song you've heard too many times. So what would you say was Salt and Pepper's desert island dick?
Oh my God, there's so many of those. Gee whiz. If I had to think of a really, really bad one, Macarena.
Oh, very good choice. Very good choice.
That would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Who Let the Dogs Out.
It's driving me crazy just thinking about it. And Who Let the Dogs Out. That's a good one. That's a good one as well. You can have both of them.
I can have both. Thank you. Oh, great.
Thank you so much for having a chat with us on FUBAR Radio. We absolutely love you and we can't wait to see you on the tour, which you're going everywhere, and everyone can go and find out more from www.ilovethe90s.ctickets.com. You can go and buy your tickets right now and head out and see them in London, Glasgow, Belfast, Dublin, Liverpool and Birmingham. I'll certainly be at the London show.
All right. Look forward to seeing you, Harriet.
Thank you so much. See you soon.
Bye.
Salt and Pepper's back, and we came to out-rap you, so get out my face before I smack you, ho. Don't you know? Can't you understand? If you mess with me, I'll take your man. Chilling in the place, go along and sport him in your face. Go ahead, roll your eyes, suck your teeth. Keep huffing and puffing like a dog in heat. You can call me a crook, a robber, a thief, but I'll be your butcher if you got beef. You know what's up, I ain't no poop putt. Coke, pepper, kick butts, all dumb young pups like you and the rest of your crew. If mine's on static, I'll diss her too. So scram, you know who I am. Damn chick, don't play me close, cause I'll take your man. Whenever I feel like it, this ain't a bet or a bet. It's a damn promise from me to you. Your sex life's through. If you get another lover, I'll take him too. All I have to do.
Stephen Lang's in the studio.
Hi.
How are you doing,
Stephen? I'm crashing.
You're coming on the next show, yeah, literally.
Well, it is my show.
With Lizzie. I was about to say Lizzie Lang, you're married now. Lizzie Cundy, who's in the studio right now looking very sexy.
She's very concerned about her outfit this evening.
One.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out on Twitter.
www.twitter.com.
I hear you were talking about me today.
Yeah, we talked about you loads, mate.
That's got a lot of mensch today, didn't
I'm
you?
Well into it.
Guess who won last request? Or should we ask Stephen Lang quickly?
Go on.
Stephen, which song would you prefer to finish the show with? R.E.M. Oh, you can't even hear it. Hold on.
I can hear it.
You can hear it. It's R.E.M., The End of the World, or the other one is Video Killed the Radio Star.
I think they're both really shit, to
by
be
the
honest.
By the Buggles.
I'm going to go for Video Killed the Radio Star.
Yeah, you are.
Of course you are.
Did you know that was my one?
Yes. That was my choice? I mean, to be fair, you didn't even know the song title.
No, Buggles. Mm. Buggles?
By the Buggles.
I knew the song title. I didn't know the R.E.M. one, no.
No, no one
gives me any information. Anyway, I'm off to Great Escape now, so you can all fuck off.
Good show, guys.
Happy Thursday. Stephen Lang.
Yeah.
Up next.
Woohoo!
Lizzie Cundy. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52.
Giggles.
The Buggles.
Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.